brought to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of the Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
I hope so, because the intro's already ran, and this is it, man. And this is the show. This is the Cantina, guys. Welcome back to it. It's the show where we get to talk about all of the things Star Wars that have been going on the last week or however long since we last spoke, if we ever miss a week, which does happen from time to time. You guys heard about all the wonderful sponsors at the front, or the sponsor. Make sure you guys are checking out LRMonline.com, genreverse.com for all your entertainment news needs and opinions and entertainment. The LRM YouTube channel, lots of celebrity interviews and all of our podcasts from the LRM Genreverse Podcast Network. Those are available wherever you get your podcasts from, on any app like Spotify, Google, Apple. Check out all of that. Follow those apps. Subscribe on YouTube. We're close to 5,000 subscribers, guys. It'd be awesome Christmas gift if we could get another 119 more subscribers. I think we need it. So if you haven't yet, even if the only show you like is the Cantina, hey, hit subscribe, and every Friday we'll be here. I am Kyle Malone, and that is Kem Clark. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I actually just realized that I have got the wrong part of our screen up. That's fine. All they did was see a story that we're going to talk about. Kind of sort of nothing secret. It's just I'm unprofessional. And since I use OBS now, I can't go back in and edit and post something clever. Maybe I'll just insult myself. Man, it's been kind of, in a way, a dull Star Wars week. Yeah, we got some cool Boba Fett stuff. We got some casting news about Sabine Wren 2 weeks ago, almost, right? Or was that last week?
So that was 2 weeks. We covered that previously. Yeah, there was another casting then this week for Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. But
nothing... Yeah, it hasn't been, like... super duper exciting stuff, right?
Well, I guess, you know, with Book of Boba Fett coming up, the stuff they want is focused on is that. So yeah. There's not really a lot of other, you know, news items coming out, not a lot of rumors going around at the moment.
Not only that, but after the kind of rough day or rough week they had the week prior as far as like PR, mm-hmm. And fan reactions, not necessarily that, I mean, let's face it, there was some bad PR from Lucasfilm and Disney, but a lot of it was just fan disappointment from previous events. That being said, they did release a couple of Boba Fett teasers, and you know, there's no need for us to both watch them all you know, together, but I was gonna play them while you and I talk about them. I guess I'm gonna shrink it down this way. The first one I was gonna play is Message, which I thought was really a decent little spot using most of the things that we had already seen in the trailer. The idea of the messaging of Fett, how he's going to do things, which you and I talked a lot about when the first trailer hit. I'm fine with this type of marketing, if you will. What did you think about that spot?
I mean, I've quite liked both spots. I mean, talking about that one specifically, again, I'm not looking for too much more. You know, I kind of feel like I don't need to see any more of the Book of Boba Fett. They've still got me on I'm going to watch it first day it's out anyway. But what I like is that they still don't seem to be... They've given a little bit more, you know, just a couple of little things to get us talking about. But really, it's just been more of the same or around the same areas that the show that's in the main trailer in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, this seems to be one of those stories. I don't necessarily... I mean, criminal underworld world, you always assume it's going to be layered things, but not layered in as deep as you're trying to connect stuff with Thrawn and Ahsoka and then Jaren and the Mandalorians. And I think we're going to get a good layered criminal story, but I don't think we're going to be on the world's biggest mystery hunt with this, which means... You really can't show too much because whatever you show is probably going to be kind of big, right? That's why it's all people walking, people moving things, and the same speeches cut up again and again.
Yeah, you can. It's not a bad thing. And, you know, there needs to be some sort of... I mean, we know the basis of where we start the series. What we don't really have is a through point for where the plot's going in that series yet. And I don't think that's something that they want to give us either at this moment in time, you know. So all we know is Boba Fett's trying to take over, you know, basically the same as we knew from that little teaser at the end of Mandalorian Season 2. We don't know very much more than that other than, you know, confirmation that that's what Boba Fett's trying to do. Fennec Shand's with him. And as you would imagine, it doesn't look as if everything's going to go ace and swimmingly according to plan. But where that goes, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. The other one that they had was called Rain. And a lot of people got all super excited getting to see bits and pieces of Fett recovering in the back to tank. A lot of establishing shots. Again, the thing with the helmet passing.
Yeah.
It's again not showing too much because if you do, you know.
But what it does, I think, do that one it certainly. It was, and then the one that previously looked at did as well to a lesser extent is confirm that there will be flashbacks, there will be periods set in that sort of past. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in terms of Morrison's own comments on that, one of the stories that we published today, or yesterday, depending when you're listening to this.
I didn't even bring it up on this screen.
I mean, it's just something that that we have assumed and kind of theorised on that would be happening and that we would be getting some sort of flashbacks to what Boba's basically been doing for these last 5 years, if you like. And it appears as if we are definitely getting that. The hangar that we see the Slave One in, sorry, it's not Slave One, it's now, as we know, rebranded the Fire Spray, but it's just, if my brain goes there, it's going to go to Slave One. Which is what it is interesting is it kind of canonizes the look of that hangar, if you like, from the Star Wars Battlefront 2 game, in which the hangar was a playable zone. Didn't have Fett's ship in it at the time, it had the sail barge, but you know, the idea of the look of it is very stylistically the same. Yeah. So it's kind of cool that they've kind of kept that. I mean, it just shows us that, I mean, we can see that he's not wearing the suit, he's wearing the kind of, you know, robes that he was wearing before, you know, and it's clearly when he goes to pick up the ship, and we would imagine there's a couple of scenes that looks as if we're going to find out what happened and how he get out the satellite pit, and it looks as if maybe the Tuskens might be involved in some way. That's my, you know, I'm thinking there seem to be some Tusken Raiders in one of the shots, so I'm guessing the Tuskens might have had something to do with either were there when he gets out or helped him get out. I don't know how that will actually come together, but that's my prediction, is they're somehow involved or there at the time when it happens anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we've got 20, by the time people are watching this, 26 days, 25 days till it comes out a month, basically. But I mean, look, hey, Sony, take notice. This is how you tease shit. This is how you tease shit. Just saying, you don't give it all away. Man, they did have to kind of go into the next bit. Magazine, SFX magazine, special effects magazine, and comments in Winter D23 magazine. You wrote this up, and there's a couple of interesting things in here. I brought it up on the screen for everyone. If you want to talk about a couple of quotes that stood out to you.
I mean, probably easy just to talk through the most important parts. First of all, I suppose would be when talking about the kind of relationship between Fennec Shand and Boba Fett, and also she kind of does mention the whole fact here, and I'll just read the quote out in a second, that they're not good guys, but they're not bad guys either, kind of thing. So
yeah,
and she says, well, there's a partnership between the two of them, Fennec and Boba Fett, for sure. They're bonded by the fact that they both lived through a near-death experience, and there's a sense of code that they both abide by. And then she goes on to say, so it's going to be really interesting to see how their dynamics grow in the Book of Boba Fett. I think that's all I can say. The rest is, you have to watch. Not that they're the bad guys, they're not that good either. We're the anti-hero. I like playing an anti-hero, you get away with more, I think. Which is kind of just confirming the way we I've always thought this was going to go as well. No one wants to see Boba Fett become a good guy. And there was some fans out there that were saying, like, you know, that if they're making Boba Fett leave the show, Disney will make him, you know, they'll neuter him, they'll make him a good guy or something like that. And, you know, as if there's no appetite for something a bit more. And we've talked about this before, how popular things like Sopranos is, just to use a TV example. All right, that's for adults, but you can still have a sense of that in a PG-13 setting. People always like gangster stories. We like villains. The most popular character in Star Wars is who? Darth Vader. The bad guy, you know. So, you know, we do like to see bad guys. We don't always have to have a hero to follow in these things. Talk about what she says about geeking out a bit, sort of working with Tamura or anything. I suppose the next thing is probably, well, we get kind of confirmation in there that they have renamed the Slave One Fire Spray. We kind of already had confirmation of that from a few
some
other
people that
anyway.
Yeah, so some people were still trying to fight it. Oh, no, it's just the variant comic art. It's like, no, guys, there was supplemental things that they sent out that you're either not being shown or ignoring.
Yeah, we knew this was the case anyway.
Yeah.
They talk a lot about
not saying we're for it, not necessarily saying we're against it. We understand it. However, do not get upset at me,
yeah,
me all I you mean, want. If I say Slave One, you're talking 37 years
exactly,
of calling it Slave One. So
it's difficult to get out of that kind of habit. But yeah, it is what it is. I don't particularly like it, but I don't hate it either, because it's just the stupid name of a ship and it's no big thing. Certainly not worth getting upset about.
I mean, there's better things to get upset about, but it is a dumb decision in my mind, especially since slavery is something that is covered in Star Wars, but literally it's because they did need to make Fett a little less of a villain and more anti-hero, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. And I think the last most interesting thing that came out of this was in terms of Morrison was asked specifically, you know, will we find out what's been happening these last sort of 5 years since the end of Return of the Jedi, if you like. And Morrison says, there will definitely be a number of answers, some long-winded answers, some short and sharp answers, some colourful answers. We're filling a lot of gaps. Which again just kind of leads into this whole that we're going to be getting some kind of flashbacks that's going to show us how we got to where we are as well. So though, and we also found out, obviously, since we recorded last, that it's 7 episodes as well, which kind of, there was a rumour from Jordan Mason that it was going to be 9. He's come up and said, you know, he's basically burned that source because he just does, it's either right or wrong, that sort of thing. So It just seems to be one of those things where you get the wrong information. But fair enough, it's going to be 7 episodes long, mm-hmm. so one shorter than The Mandalorian. And if we are getting a lot of flashback time within that, potentially, I mean, I'm not sure how much there would be, but that also gives you less time to work with the kind of ongoing story that's happening from that point forward as well. That can sometimes be a good thing because you can have quite a short, sharp story that's broken up by yeah. how they got there in the first place. It depends how they do it. Are they going to have like little flashes telling you things in each episode, or are they going to just like have a flashback episode, you know, that kind of thing, where they just have one episode that shows you what's happened in the last 5 years? Who knows? I mean, we'll guess we'll find out maybe in a few weeks time, although it'll take a few weeks to get into the show as well. Obviously, we've got 7 weeks until we get to the finale, so we don't know exactly how it's going to play out.
Yeah, the one interesting thing is just a few days ago, I was actually looking at looked up the episode count for a conversation I was having with Brian. Brian Brantley does Animeversal reviews with us on LRM's YouTube channel and LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from. but someone had actually recently reported at least good enough to have the number 8 on like the front page of Google. I remember the 9 from a while ago. Mm-hmm. And when it came out that it was 7, I immediately thought to myself, okay, well, maybe there was 8 or 9 and they divvy a little bit out. You know what I'm saying? They increased the run times in others where they could. Things in the editing process can, especially with these types of shows, can change so fluidly. I mean, Shackman on WandaVision was like, I think that was his name, was like, yeah, we were editing the final episode, so week of air, like the week it aired, we were still fiddling with the final episode.
So, right in the middle of COVID as well, which kind of probably did just stretch to the limit more than most. But yeah, I get what
you're
saying.
But you could theoretically, and that's not to sit there and deflect anyone from being just right out wrong either. It's truly a testament to me, the idea that a studio is potentially, since they have the ability, you would hope someone smarter than me would have the same idea that, hey guys, we could streamline it a bit. It's not that hard to take these frames and slide these transitions. Why don't we, you know, we've got the technology
possible. So, I mean, so I would hope you that's the kind of thing that could change right up until
yeah
release, because they may look at it and decide, you know, actually this would be, you know, this would structure better if we did it. And it's not a, you know, if you've got both for the cut, it's just a case of recutting slightly
exactly
to make that fit. So yeah, it's possible.
And like I said, as a wannabe filmmaker, if I have an idea like that, looking at the available technology, I would hope to God someone else is. But yeah, 7 episodes. You remember back when we were wondering if it would only be like half of
a mini series, like maybe 4
yeah, like
episodes?
4.
I think that was like, one of the would be like early 4. Reports from Deadline, that when they, I mean, I know we covered it first and then they like officially covered it, if you like, that it was called Book of Boba Fett and everything. And I'm sure it was just, it was either them, or if I'm doing them a disservice, I apologize, or someone rumored it just after that it was a mini series. So we just kind of went, okay, sounds fine, you know, and went with that. But it became apparent that, you know, that wasn't going to be the case. And
by
7
book,
it's a full series to me. 7's not a mini series to me.
When we were hearing book, we were thinking like a book in a series of Mandalorian, which would be a shorter. But I'm thinking of it now, the titles like the Book of Boba Fett, some beginnings, some middle, and some now.
Yeah.
That's what I think the imagery is meant to be. Now, I'll tell you what imagery we do need to have, and that's imagery from our sponsors over at Grow Generation. So, guys, take it away.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
All right, growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. Guys, please do check them out, and if you do, please tell them who sent you, you know, the Cantina over at Genreverse, LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network. And so that way we can get some goodies, like codes to give you guys or something. I don't know. Everyone else on YouTube does. We're like a website that just throws shit at YouTube and see what sticks. And so help us do the thing. Tell them. Anyways, Cam. We mentioned Ahsoka casting news and the idea that Sabine, not the idea, it happened, Sabine Wren cast. Yeah. Actress is not very, you know, well known to me, but I'm absolutely fine with her casting. She looks like she could fit the part. Yeah. There was an actress, I think, when we mentioned, what was it, Mason, that had three names he had heard, or was that someone else?
Yeah,
I don't want to bring up the specifics.
As well, it had some different names, and they weren't quite right, but, you know.
Yeah, the only one that I had kind of wanted was the one that I had seen in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but it's not, it wasn't her.
She was a good actress.
That was it.
And, yep. You know.
But now we got some different news. No, I was going to let you get carry on from there. We've got some different casting news.
I was only going to say that, you know, I'm excited to see what Natasha Leo Bordizzo, who has been cast as Sabine Wren, will do, because she looks the part, you know, but obviously I've never seen her in anything either, really. So, you know, some more cast to add to Ahsoka. Deadline reports that Ahsoka has cast Ivana Sagno in an undisclosed role for the upcoming Disney Plus show. Now, they do say, as far as they've been told from their sources, this is for a brand new role. So, you know, there has been a lot of people, who could this be that she's playing, which... When you do a show like Ahsoka that's going to bring back certain people, some of them animated, some possibly live action, then people are going to look at these things. But as far as the source that's reporting it is saying, they think it's a brand new character, which, you know, introducing new characters is okay, guys. You know, that's absolutely fine.
We love more.
So there's no point, I don't think. I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. It's like, yeah, it should be cast. Don't really know much about her. I haven't seen her in much of anything so far. And probably because she's playing a new character, we can't really add any comment or, you know, theorise with regards to that casting in any way whatsoever. So it's just a kind of case of wait and see. But what is apparent is that Ahsoka is starting to cast some of the roles that they need before moving forward. I am doubtful now, because they were cast beforehand and there's been nothing reported officially, that they're going to announce Mina Massoud or Lars Mikkelsen. I think they're going to keep the whole Ezra Thrawn thing a mystery, potentially.
Yeah. Like, well, either, I mean, they might even show up just at the end. Was name dropped already.
Well, I mean, like, are they going to show up in episode 2, or are they going to find them by the end of the season? Or are we going to get just a post-credit scene with something to tease a season 2? I mean, we have no idea. All we know is both, you know, from our sources, is that both actors had signed on for live action. But we haven't had any information yet. I think we will get that in time, as, you know, cameras roll. That's when you start to hear the odd little rumors that come about. So, well, I think we'll get an idea of whether
wager 500 credits, since those don't really exist, or they do, but I'll which games credits 500 credits that we do buy by Celebration get Thrawn announced.
You think they'll just do that?
Because he's already been name dropped. We get Thrawn.
Yeah, but I think that is very was a quest for Thrawn and Ezra. They might not want to tip their hand in terms of she finds them. You know, I know it's obvious, but
we don't have to even. It doesn't even have to sit there. They could even post it as an appearing in a future series after the events of Ahsoka. We're proud to announce our Thrawn. I do think that having the casting news of him is a good idea. Yeah, I do. I believe that's this. It's a smart move.
It's a good idea for us since we kind of covered the story first of all.
Of course. Full disclosure, legitimately, the character is well known in Star Wars fandom. It's not as well known in the casual Star Wars fandom. Sure. Those that followed the movies, maybe even more specifically these last three movies, plus maybe the OT. It is a guaranteed way just by, you didn't even have to show Ewan with anything. Ewan McGregor in casual dress walk out on a stage. Obi-Wan Kenobi announcing your Thrawn. No makeup shot. Nothing. Lars Mikkelsen out in casual dress. How they say how much involvement or not? We know she's looking for him. It seems like a good PR thing to do at a celebration.
Because Obi-Wan has been marketed very differently to all the other Star Wars shows that are coming out. So they've built the hype early for Obi-Wan because they kind of know, we all know where it's going before we even, get there. So that big ensemble cast was all announced. They haven't done that for anything else. I mean, most of the cast that are in The Book of Boba Fett, which is out in a few weeks, haven't even been announced yet. There's characters we know are in that we haven't seen. Who's playing them? I don't know. And there's going to be, look at the trailer, and I can't remember her name, but that the actress that was so in it was like, so-and-so's in this, There was no... there was very little rumours about Book of Boba Fett while it was filming. And that seems to be true of volume shows, mostly. Yeah. So I don't know. And this is the Dave Filoni team, and Filoni and Favreau so far have liked to keep a very short leash on, what they actually reveal. I'm not so sure we will get to find out they decide that, until it happens or something like that in the show. And even up to that point, I could even imagine people having to, I deny that I'm in this and all that sort of stuff. I don't know, but who knows? We'll see what happens. Yeah.
No, that's a valid point. That's a valid point. We'll see what happens for certain. But I'm excited to see what's going to come out of that. I don't necessarily think it's going to be good.
That you mean the show
worlds? Yeah, that scares the crap out of me.
I'm a bit slightly concerned about it, but at the same time, I'm kind of excited because I want to see the next step of what happened at the end of Rebels as well, And I think it can be a cool story to tie up. But yeah, I share some concerns that you have as well.
My God, and I don't even like it if they were like, oh, guys, guess what? We're going to use this and your precious EU is coming back. Not at the sacrifice of a multiverse. Nope. No, thank you. No.
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 Not Star Wars.
I don't need a time-walking freaking Palpatine.
It depends Anakin what they do, yeah. Always judge it on what it is and how it's used, and if it's used with
time walking Ray.
Let's go back in time. We've got the world between worlds. We can do it.
Cam,
get it up to 1.21 gigawatts.
I'm so scared of it. I really am. No, but let's talk about a casualty in Star Wars. Crash and burn.
Yeah.
Rangers of the New Republic.
It's gone. Bye bye. We kind of thought this was going to be the case anyway, because we had heard it was no longer in active development, and I kind of feel like, even though I must admit this is a show I kind of cared least about, I kind of feel some kind of connection to it, because we were the first ones to reveal that Lucasfilm were doing a show starring Gina Carano as Cara Dune. And although that was it, by the way, guys, if anybody was ever in any doubt, it was Rangers of the New Republic, although we didn't have the name of the show at that point. Maybe they didn't even have the name of the show at that point. I mean, it was announced, as everyone knows, Disney Investor Day.
They dropped the Republic Rain Marshal thing on her, or whatever, Ranger thing.
I mean, there was a little bit of, I think, of teasing where that was going in Mandalorian Season 2. And, of course, everyone knows that Gina Carano then posted some stuff online that Disney didn't like. And while they never officially fired her, they just didn't offer her any more work. And that meant the Rangers of the New Republic was kind of a bit screwed, if you like. We had heard a rumour that they were looking to possibly retool it with Harris and Jula in the lead role, and I know there was a lot of fans kind of really excited by that, but then there was just radio silence. You know, like, after that, we just heard nothing about it, so through our sources or through anyone else's sources, and the longer that went on, until we heard that whole not an active development thing, you kind of just thought, this isn't happening now. And that's what it appears to be. Kathleen Kennedy, and the coverage that Empire Magazine had, which we were covering kind of last week. This is just one of the stories we never got kind of in time to cover for our last Cantina show. And here's what she said about Rangers of the New Republic. We'd never written any scripts or anything on that. Some of that will figure into future episodes, I'm sure, of Mandalorian. And that kind of tells the tale for what it is. They weren't that far along with it. They had an idea. They had pitched an idea that everyone wanted to go with, and it was going to connect to all the other shows. And now they're not pushing ahead with that show. They have to do a few things differently that they had planned. Therefore, some of what they had pitched, some of their ideas, will probably find their way into some of the other shows, specifically maybe even the Mandalorian. But I think when we're talking Mandalorian, we have to look at that whole ensemble piece and any other shows that come after. I mean, now there's only really two, Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and the Book of Boba Fett. So who knows what might have came out of the ashes, if you like, of Rangers in the New Republic. It could mean that Mandalorian's better than what it would have been if that had happened. I mean, we just don't know. So you just have to look at it positively at this moment in time and hope that it all works out for the best.
I just hope we get Bill Burr back in what we had hoped. We never, it was all just hopes and dreams of his character being a part of Rangers.
We had heard through our old friends at KRT, who are no longer running anymore, that Bo-Katan was supposed to be in the Gina Carano show as well. That was the only other rumour we'd really heard about that at all. But we theorised it might be a great place for Bill Burr to show up as well, Mayfield. But
Mayfield,
I kind of feel like he's coming back in Season 3 of The Mandalorian.
I hope
based on his comments earlier, vague, but I
NDAs
hope,
and I can't
to,
say.
As we talked about, he's a major character of that show now. And we want to see more of him. He's got a story arc that we want to follow going forward. So bring back Miggs Mayfield is all we will say. Cantina supports the return of Miggs Mayfield.
Hashtag return.
Hopefully. But, you know, we'll see. We'll wait and see.
So, Cam and Christine, you want to watch a video? It's this is kind of rough looking, guys. So the Galactic Star Cruiser video, Cam, did you see it, the sneak peek from 3 days ago?
No, I saw that it was there, but didn't have that much interest in it. I haven't thought that I'll never visit it. So hey, I didn't
Christine,
look.
Come here. You're going to want to hear this, Christine. Cam, you can. I'll share the screen here in a second for you. Sure. This is the. I'm going to actually, so that way I can make it full screen for me and Christine. I'm going to just kind of shrink this down for them. And then, Cam, like I said, when I hit the share screen button, you're going to be frozen. So pick how you want to be frozen in 3, 2, 1. There we go. That is a gorgeous share screen. Cam, can you see this okay?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go, guys. Let's check this out.
Getting the volume, hello Christine. There.
I'm super excited to see what you and your team created.
We cannot wait to have you aboard because Star Wars Galactic.
Wait a minute, that guy looks like a short Hayden Christensen. Experience where
you get to spend 2 days. Doesn't he? Maybe that's on purpose.
Living out your very own
Star
Wars story.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm just too excited. We gotta go inside.
Ugh.
Okay.
This is their big reveal, dude.
Wow. This is unreal.
That looks like so fake. Like so 3D printed.
Except it's not a movie, right? You get to be in the middle of it all and in the middle of the action. Mm. And then there's activities you can do on here.
Yeah, there are activities on board the ship. Yeah. What I'm really excited about is lightsaber training.
But we're just seeing pictures of them. Bridge, we also
just hold on, Cam. This is brilliant marketing. Just where we can go to hyperspace. It's brilliant.
Focused on making sure we have some of the best entertainment in the galaxy on board.
One of the over the top so excited about is this YouTuber reactions stuff makes me want to choke. Not if this person's over 18, I could be brought to throw down out of anger.
So
no, hold on, guys. This is what I wanted you to see. This is how they want to advertise the Galactic Star Cruiser, the $5,000 hotel. This is for your $5,000. This is to convince you.
He's loving it.
This is to convince you to want to see this.
I'm sold.
What do you think, Christine?
Scrap.
Yeah, show.
How unhappy I am.
Can you imagine that, Cam?
I was just in there, the lights were on, and this performer just came out of nowhere.
You just met Gaia.
She was incredible.
Let's get you back to the launch pod in your home planet.
Sounds great.
All right.
Why?
Hey, Admiral, hello there.
Like just
the look on your face.
Just the fact that like that's the marketing campaign to get you to spend $5,000. No!
Shut up and take my money.
No.
No, that didn't entice me in. No, you know.
Oh my God!
Thank you for wasting my time.
Go to any bar and watch someone sing for a lot less than 5,000 pesos. Surely you could watch like, I don't know, somebody good. If you went to Vegas and paid £5,000, you could probably go and watch someone in Vegas. That would be better than that, I'm guessing. But yes. I mean, I guess that's only maybe something that they do for entertainment at the bar, but as you say, it's fine to have that, like, you know, if that's a take it or leave it activity, but I wouldn't lead with it in terms of how I would market the attractions. But I think the problem you're seeing is they want people to book early for this. They want to make money off it before it's ready. Problem is, it ain't ready. It ain't ready because all those the things that we would want to go for were just pictures. They were just static pictures. Like, this is what it will look like when it's finished.
Yep.
And here's another picture of what it might look like if you were really enjoying yourself when it's finished. But at the moment, we've got the bridge finished and the girl singing in the bar, and that's it. Yeah. The rest of it not quite ready yet, so sorry about that. And that kind of doesn't entice anybody to sign up, except the absolute crazy acts that have to be first at everything. Mike's probably salivating at that video, and he's already booked his ticket. He probably literally is like, take my money now.
Who is the singing Twi'lek aimed at?
Don't ask me. I mean, my musical knowledge stopped in about 1982. So,
dude, but what I'm saying is, I don't know a single Star Wars fan my age that would want to see that.
I mean, if I was sitting getting smashed at a bar, I don't mind someone singing in the background, you know.
No, but the idea that that would be on your schedule to go experience that.
Yeah, I'd skip that, but unless it was just, you know, well, just sitting with a drink and it's in the background.
Now, if it's the lounge singer, absolutely, that's fine. Part of immersion. But the idea is that
I'd rather they were singing something like out of Star Wars. Like,
if somebody
actually had proper guys suit up, or the Max Rebo band, you know what I mean?
But even then, you're showcasing it, like I said, in marketing as a show, like the when you go watch the singing Frozen show. Hey everyone, let's go watch the Cantina Singer show.
Maybe
that's what I'm saying. And who's that advertised at? You know?
Maybe it's so that, you know, when the dads are like, hey, kids, this year we're going to go to, you know, the Galaxy Star Cruiser. And the daughter's like, I want to go back to Frozen World again this year. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dad. And they're like, but look, they have songs at Star Wars World as well. You'll love it. They have princesses. Yeah. Honest. Yeah. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. But, yeah.
Well,
it looks just such a corny advert, though. It's just such a badly put together advert. I mean, knowing that it's scripted and having that guy, I don't know if we call that acting, but, you know, it's not very good acting. And, you know, it's written so badly as well, you know. That's, you know, you could have done something so much cooler than that and showed so much less and still enticed people in. I think that you're trying to attract the Star Wars fans that have £5,000 to spend. Guess what? They're not going to be 15, 16. They're going to be in the 40s if they've got that kind of money to spend.
I'm not saying I have that money, but our age, you know, the high 30s, low 40s. Yeah.
Cost me an extra few thousand just to fly over.
Anyways, guys, I think that'll about wrap it for the Cantina this week. LRMonline.com. All of our content is there. All the written articles, all the podcasts, the interviews, everything goes up here. So bookmark it, save it, whatever. Genreverse Podcast Network from LRM Online. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. We just put up our Hawkeye episode 3 and I see it on the screen. Spider-Man Homecoming review. The Daily Cog. The Dragon review viewed our World of Time podcast, which is really unique. Wheel of Time. So sorry. Why do I keep trying to say World of Time? Yeah. Fucking World of Time. We live in a world of time, man. Anime versus reviews, and you guys are listening to the Cantina. All of that, along with a lot of celebrity interviews, red carpet, Zoom interviews, in person, all on LRM's YouTube channel. Hey, guys, like I said, we're sitting real close to 5,000 subs. If you haven't subscribed yet, it'd be great if you could help us out, you know, with that awesomeness before New Year's. And then I said everything else. Social media information for us is that down below. Cam, you got anything else you want to say?
Nope.
Ned, I apologize for any editing issues. I still get bogged down with OBS, guys. May the force be with you.